Hello and welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kaveh Tahbahi. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has delivered a speech carrying many messages. In this debate, we will discuss the statements made by Iran's leader on Iran's civilian nuclear program, in which Iran's leader has said that he was not too optimistic about the nuclear talks with the P5 plus one. Let's discuss this with our guest in the studio. Joining us is Professor Mohammad Mirandi. He's a professor at the University of Tehran. Professor Mirandi, welcome. What do you think about what Iran's leader has said? He made several statements, and this would be on Iran's civilian nuclear program and the standoff with the West, in particular the U.S.
Well, I think what he's trying to say is that the Iranians are open to resolving the standoff between itself and the Western powers. He was very careful to point out that Iran's problem is by no means related to the international community. Iran's problem is simply with a number of Western powers which are trying to impose their will upon the Iranian people. He basically is saying that the Iranians feel that a solution is easy to reach and that the standoff is not a complicated issue, but that the United States and its partners are dragging their feet and their objective is basically to prevent the nuclear issue from being resolved, and that the United States is basically using this as an excuse to put pressure on the Iranian people and the Iranian nation.
Well, let's take a quick break into what the leader actually did say earlier in the day.
آمریکایی‌ها مرتب از راه‌های گوناگون به ما پیغام میدن که بیایید درباره مسئله هسته‌ای گفتگو کنیم. هم به ما پیغام میدن، هم در تبلیغات جهانیشون این رو مطرح میکنن، بارها و بارها میگن مسئولین بلندپایه، مسئولین میانی میگن بیایید در کنار گفتگوهای پنج به علاوه یک که درباره مسائل هسته‌ای بحث میکنن، آمریکا و جمهوری اسلامی دو به دو درباره مسئله هسته‌ای ایران بحث بکنند. من به این گفتگوها خوشبین نیستم. چرا؟ چون تجربه های گذشته ما نشان میده که گفتگو در منطق حضرات آمریکایی به این معنی نیست که بنشینیم تا به یک راه حل منطقی دست پیدا کنیم. منظورشون از گفتگو این نیست. منظورشون از گفتگو این است که بنشینیم حرف بزنیم تا شما نظر ما را قبول کنید. هدف از اول اعلام شده است، باید نظر طرف مقابل قبول بشه. لذاست که ما همیشه اعلام کردیم، گفتیم این گفتگو نیست، این تحمیل است و ایران زیر بار تحمیل نمی رود. من خوشبین نیستم به این اظهارات، اما مخالفت هم ندارم. در چند مورد در طول سالهای متمادی در دولتهای گوناگون کسانی بر سر موضوعات مقطعی که ما هم مخالفتی نداشتیم با اونها مذاکره کردند، اما مربوط به دولتها بوده است. البته همونها هم موظف بودند که خطوط قرمز رهبری را رعایت کنند. امروز هم موظفند و باید رعایت کنند.
Okay, Professor Mirandi, I'd like to hone in on the part that Iran's leader emphasized that he is neither optimistic nor opposed to talks with the U.S. over the Islamic Republic's nuclear energy program. What has caused Iran's leader not to be optimistic about the talks, and also what are his red lines for that?
Well, I think if we look back in history, it's pretty clear what he's talking about. The Iranians on numerous occasions either spoke to the United States or they gave a green light on different occasions to improve relations. During, for example, the presidency of Mr. Rafsanjani, the Iranians gave an American oil company the right to develop an oil field, and the United States immediately after that imposed harsh sanctions on Iran's oil and gas sector. Or, for example, during the presidency of Mr. Khatami, the Iranians held negotiations with the United States over Afghanistan, and subsequently the Iranians were called a part of an axis of evil. And Iran also had talks with the United States in over Iraq. The Iranian ambassador had talks with the American ambassador on a couple of occasions. And again, the United States took advantage of the talks, and subsequently no positive results came from that. And also, on occasions, the United States actually promised Iran indirectly to resolve certain issues. For example, when the Brazilian president came to Iran, he had a letter from the American president promising that he would accept an agreement between Iran, Brazil, and Turkey within a particular framework. And the Tehran Declaration, which was signed between the Iranian president, the Brazilian president, and the Turkish prime minister, fell within the framework agreed upon by the U.S. president. But immediately after the Tehran Declaration was signed, the United States went for further sanctions and effectively slapped the Brazilian president in the face by disregarding the promise that they have given. So when Obama, although he signed the letter himself, but he went back and basically lied to the Brazilian president. So the Iranians feel that there's no reason to trust the United States. In the past, the United States has betrayed Iran's trust, and the Iranians have to be very careful from his perspective in the future.
Well, let's bring in Richard Hellman, who's the president of the Middle East Research Center, who joins us from Washington. Richard Hellman, can you please tell us why has the United States done so in the numerous examples that Professor Morandi stated, which basically on a number of occasions included sanctions?
Well, I think it's fruitless and pointless to go back and rehash the past as to who said what to whom, who did what to whom, who made mistakes, who told the truth, who lied. But today, we have a regime in Tehran which threatens to eliminate the Jewish state, Israel, and threatens to use to develop nukes and to use them against the West. But the problem is not nuclear weapons. The problem is not what's in the arsenal of a nation. It's what's in their heart. The people of Iran have a good heart, as I trust the people of America have a good heart. But the regime does not really represent the people of Iran. I think that if Iran were to change its fanatic, kleptocratic Islamist government and to really be a good neighbor in the Middle East and not export terrorism and not threaten its neighbors with extinction, I think the nuclear weapons would not be such a big issue. Many nations in the world, frankly, either have nuclear weapons or could develop them in a very short time. And yet nobody is concerned about them because most of them are not threatening to eliminate their neighbors. And so it's about, again, what's in the heart, not what's in what's being said clearly over at least 6, 8 or more years to wipe out Israel, to threaten the West, etc. I think that's the problem. And so I just pray and hope that the Iranian people in the upcoming elections or otherwise will change the regime and that the Iranian government will properly represent the good heart of the Iranian people, and then I think there would be no problem between America and Iran, between the West and Iran, between Iran's neighbors, close neighbors and Iran. If Iran is no more exporting terror, if Iran is no more supporting Bashar al-Assad in his devastation of his people with 70,000 dead, 250,000 wounded, a million refugees, if Iran is no more supporting Hezbollah to take over Lebanon and threaten Israel,
okay,
even though there's a UN resolution that said the border between Lebanon and Israel was set, and that Israel was not impinging upon Lebanon's border. So in short, if Iran's government were to change, if it really represented the Iranian people as we hoped it would in 2009 with the Green Revolution, then I think Iran certainly would be dominant in the Middle East, but not in a way that threatened people.
All right. Well, let me bring in Professor Morandi. Professor Morandi, a number of issues that Mr. Hellman talked about there, but I'd like to hone in on the fact that it appears that he's convinced that Iran either has diverted towards nuclear weaponry or that it already has a nuclear bomb per se. And that is something that is not the case. Even the director of intelligence has come out in the U.S. stating that Iran has is not building a nuclear weapons program, doesn't have nuclear weapons, and has made a decision and has not made a decision to do so. So why? I'm sure American officials are aware of this.
Well, I would be surprised if your guests really didn't know the truth. First of all, the Iranians have never threatened any country with annihilation or any regime with annihilation. Iran has never threatened the West, and Iran has never threatened to annihilate the Zionist regime. Of course, Iran does not accept the legitimacy of the Zionist regime, just like it did not accept the legitimacy of apartheid South Africa. Uh-huh. Zionism is, of course, a form of racism, and Palestinians are treated like dirt in the occupied territories and in occupied Palestine. And that's the reason why Iran's opposed to the Israeli regime. But ironically, it is the Israelis and the United States that have constantly threatened Iran with attack, and Iran has never threatened to initiate any form of conflict.
No.
On the other hand, the Iranians have never said that they are pursuing nuclear weapons. In fact, from the very beginning, the Iranians have said that the nuclear program is peaceful. And Russian and Chinese intelligence agencies have repeatedly said that they see no evidence to show otherwise. The non-aligned movement, which consists of three-fifths of the countries of the world, have always supported Iran's position. It's basically a number of Western countries that have said otherwise. So I think by misrepresenting the situation, it weakens one's argument. The important thing is that your guess, ironically, accepts Iran's elections as being significant, and that is an admission that I'm surprised at. The Iranian people obviously will choose their next president, but if you look at polls carried out by Americans, not Iranians, by Americans, Iranians have consistently, and this is the broader population in Iran, have consistently, strongly and staunchly back the Iranian nuclear program. And therefore, giving up Iran's sovereign right is not something that the Iranian people would allow, even if the current administration in Iran or any future administration wanted to do otherwise. So as long as the United States continues to try to hurt ordinary Iranians, it will get nothing in return. And with regards to terrorism, I think it's quite clear that the United States is supporting terrorist organizations in Iran. The Mujahideen al-Khalq organization, which has killed over 10,000 Iranians, worked alongside Saddam Hussein, is backed by the United States and in certain EU countries. And finally, of course, the situation in Syria, where the United States is behaving in the most outrageous manner alongside the Saudis and other oil-rich dictatorships. They are now allowing al-Qaeda-like groups, which they were fighting against supposedly for over a decade, allowing the Saudis and the Qataris and others to fund the most extremist and dangerous sort of people in the world. These are the same people who they were supposedly, as I said, people who right now in Syria support Osama bin Laden. Yet the United States is closes their eyes to the actions of such terrorist organizations. In reality, it is the United States and its allies that have blood on their hands in Syria.
Richard Hellman, you spoke very warmly about the Iranian people. I'm wondering, do you really think these sanctions is the way to go when you got people in operating rooms without anesthetics and some life-saving drugs? I mean, clearly, there's got to be a change in that strategy from the U.S.
Well, the sanctions are necessary, but clearly not sufficient. And I have not received any credible evidence that people in operating rooms do not have anesthetic and other such things. In fact, the people who I have known who have visited Iran in recent months and years have found that the Iranian people, while stretched by the economic sanctions, are still living reasonably well. So it is not about punishing the Iranian people. It's about attempting, albeit it has not been successful, changing the behavior of the regime. But this regime in Tehran is not going to change its behavior because it wants to and has repeatedly, and it's been documented, it has threatened Israel with annihilation. It has threatened its own people inside by imprisoning many, including Christians and Baha'is and other minorities. And it has fomented and fostered terrorism, Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in Gaza, and terrorist attacks in many places around the world. So
okay, I'm sorry, Richard Hellman.
It's not about the Iranian people.
I gotta take a quick time out here. We're going to take a look at some Facebook comments that have been made on the subject of this debate. Let's take a listen to it.
Young Pak, the U.S. does not believe in dialogue but war. It is always killing innocent folks. Nothing good will come from this apart from bloodshed and destruction. Trimor Manenji, without a doubt, Iran is a threat to America, as is China. Sanctions are an outdated system. We saw them being used in Zimbabwe and Cuba. Abdul Qadir Musa, the U.S. is blind to the facts. It fails to realize that in one way or another, directly or indirectly, Iran has been the beneficiary of all the unjust wars it has fought. Shehu Lamin Muhammad, Iran must not give up because a day will come when Muslim countries will be proud of Iran.
Well, let's get a reaction here. Professor Mirandi, I'd like to go back to the first one and quickly to remind you what Young Pak said, and that was that the U.S. does not believe in dialogue but war. And that has been one of the problems, the threat always being on the table, not to mention, of course, that dialogue, well, it's always been accompanied by sanctions.
Well, again, yes, this is contrary to the claim made by your guests in the United States. Iran has never threatened war against any country, but the United States has regularly threatened Iran. And that is, of course, against international law. And the attempt is to terrorize ordinary Iranians in order to force the government to change its stance on its sovereign right. But also with regards to the sanctions, which he supports, the U.S. president also supports these sanctions, and he calls them crippling sanctions. In other words, the attempt is to cripple Iran and Iranians and to make ordinary Iranians suffer. That is the objective. When you try to block the Iranian central bank in any form of trade with foreign countries, that means you prevent the importing of medicine as well and foodstuff. So the United States and the Europeans have attempted to make Iranians suffer. Now, whether they've succeeded or not is another question. Obviously, they have not succeeded nearly as much as they want to, as your guest admits, but that itself does not mean that they are not attempting to commit a crime against ordinary Iranians, and then people have died as a result of shortage of medicines. So the United States government obviously does have blood on its hands in this regard. But the point that I think is very important is that what the Iranian leader is saying is that if the United States behaves in a reasonable fashion, it begins to behave rationally, there is an opportunity to resolve the situation. But it basically depends on the United States. The United States cannot try to make Iranians suffer, to threaten the Iran, to threaten the country with war on a consistent basis, and then suppose that the Iranian people are going to trust them at the negotiating table.
This.
Go ahead, Richard Hellman.
This is not the fact. In fact, the United States has constantly reached its hand out to Iran to speak, to talk, and to negotiate, and to come to an agreement. But the Iranian leaders come to the table, and then they walk away, and they mark time, and they waste time, and they buy time, so that they can develop nuclear weapons to effectuate their threat to eliminate Israel, to eliminate the Zionist regime, as they sometimes say. It's very clear that they are hostile to Israel and hostile to the West ever since 1979, and that's the whole raison d'etre of the present political regime in Tehran. But that is not the heart of the Iranian people. So I believe that we need much more dialogue, and we need many more negotiations, but fruitful negotiations, and perhaps we're just negotiating with the wrong people, the Ayatollahs and the president of Iran being unrepresentative of the heart of most of the Iranian people. There should be a whole different dialogue, and it should be about these threats to Israel and to the West. In fact, the leaders of Iran, for their threats against Israel, should be brought to the International Court of Justice at the Hague, or to the
right.
International Criminal Court, and charged with incitement to genocide against Israel.
Again,
that's been a decision of the U.S. House of Representatives since 2007, that's what the Security Council should do.
I'd like to focus more, Richard Hellman, if we can, on the possibility of talks between Iran and the U.S.
Threatening genocide against Israel.
Okay, very well. Professor Morandi, here we have a year that's been filled with numerous P5 plus one talks, and of course, we have the U.S. as part of the P5 plus one. There's some that are saying, you know, the U.S. is the one controlling the P5 plus one when it comes to Iran's nuclear issue. Therefore, Iran and the U.S. need to resolve their differences. Is this deduction correct?
Well, I think this is an important point. Contrary to what your guest has been saying, the Iranian leadership obviously reflects Iranian public opinion. Not only have elections in the past shown this, but also polls carried out by Western organizations like the University of Maryland, Terror Free Tomorrow, GlobeScan. Numerous polls have been carried out regularly, and so it's obvious that this is not simply not true. And obviously, again, the claim that Iran has threatened genocide is I think, a part of your guest's imagination more than anything else. But what is not representative, basically, is the United States and the role that it plays in the negotiations. Because if you look at the international community, the non-aligned movement itself, as I said earlier, consists of three-fifths of the countries of the world. And within the 5+1 itself, China and Russia are against the policies being pursued by the United States and its allies. So the United States and a couple of its allies, which have are on the permanent members of the Security Council, which is a non-democratic organization, are preventing the issue from being resolved and trying to prevent Iran from having able to use its rights as a sovereign nation. So I think maybe the best way to put it is that the United States is undemocratic, and it's taking advantage of an undemocratic body, the UN Security
Very well.
Council.
I'm going to have to jump in.
Upon
I apologize,
Iran.
Professor Morandi. We're fresh out of time. That was Professor Mohammad Morandi, professor at the University of Tehran, with his statements. Also like to thank Richard Hellman, president of the Middle East Research Center from Washington. Thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. Please do send us any questions or comments or any suggestions for the topic of a debate. Newsroom@pressv.ir is our email address. From Mikhail Vitakvay and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.